Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Ready and raring to go.
That's right.
The sun is out, and who knows what we might be able to do when we're relaxing. Instead, what do? We voluntarily come in and look at all the terrible things going on in the world.
The turmoil.
I don't like to keep looking at this terrible stuff, so I'm going to search and see what kind of positive things we can bring up.
Uh-oh.
But on first take, you know, what do I come across? I find out that Hong Kong's having problems with China, mainland China. And that's difficult because I remember old Hong Kong and I thought it was pretty neat. That's where, when we were in the Air Force, that's where we sent our planes in to buy our suits. You know, they always
yeah.
Anyway, Hong Kong is a big problem and there's fighting and killing and we're involved and now McConnell wants to get involved. And then we also today have Powell being interviewed before a House committee, talking about how wonderful the monetary policy is, how things are working out. So maybe that's the good news. The only problem is I don't believe them.
Yeah.
You know, and if we have this problem with foreign policy and this problem with monetary policy, and we have a problem with debt too, well, the Congress, you know, the real activity in Washington today is, we do have problems. So let's have an impeachment.
Yeah.
Maybe if we have an impeachment, this will settle everything and bring people together. So I'm not quite ready there. So maybe I can develop that theme as we go along or as the day goes on and say everything's going to be better tomorrow. But for some reason, I think I'm sort of daydreaming.
That sun came out and got you a little bit too optimistic. But yeah, we are facing impeachment. It's at the top of drudge. Everyone's talking about it. There's a lot going on. Our theme is that Washington is crippled with impeachment while the world is in flames. What do you sent me a picture yesterday of a kangaroo. I was wondering if you'd gone to the zoo or something. Or
well, you know, we've heard of kangaroo courts, and, you know, I think the Internet's great. They're good for this. I don't know where the kangaroo court originated. And, of course, we think of kangaroos jumping Australia.
Yeah.
It looks like it didn't originate in Australia, and they're not sure where it was. But the kangaroo is, they've mentioned something about its eyes in a stare, and it hops back and forth, and that's what this court does, jump around without really accomplishing anything. But my thought was, you know, if I were in politics and we wanted to demonstrate that, why couldn't somebody be standing out in front of these offices until they get arrested and just put a picture? Come join. There's a party going on here. There's a kangaroo court going on.
Yeah.
Because there was a picture on the Internet of a kangaroo sitting behind the bench and judging and being the jury, you know, of all this going on. And that tells me, tells you and others where I think we are on this. I believe that we should have law and justice, but I think the whole Russia Gate's a scam, and I think this whole thing, a shift, is a scam, and it is a kangaroo court. And I've said it on the air that I'm hoping and believe the truth can come up. There's something positive. Truth will eventually come out
yeah.
and find out who the biggest liars are, you know. And I imagine there's fibbing on both sides. But I think the people who want to solve the problem of monetary policy and foreign policy, that they push and say, the only thing we have to do is impeach Trump. Because, look, we can't stand the idea that he's getting credit for a good economy and this sort of thing. So it's one of these things that it makes no sense, but a lot of jealousy from the enemy over Trump. So they have to destroy him, and they're working on this. But I saw one report today that this whole thing, the way it's going to work out, even though if he does get impeached or if not, it's going to totally destroy the Republican Party. I don't lie awake worrying about political parties, but the whole thing is it may well do something that the Democrats aren't expecting. You know, the Republicans didn't exactly come out on the winning side of impeaching Clinton.
Yeah, that's right. And this seems a lot weaker than that. You know, I believe it or not, Dr. Paul, I go to the gym and I go on the treadmill and I run on the treadmill. And the one that I go to, I don't know why, but has MSNBC on the TV on top. Yeah. And every second there's a new breathless headline about the impeachment. They are so excited about it. You know, but when you break it down to what it actually is about substance-wise, there's very, very little to do with it. I mean, probably even less than Clinton had. The president supposedly had a quid pro quo with Ukraine. Hey, you better knock out my biggest rival, Biden, or you're not going to get the money. Of course, we've seen the transcript now, and the transcript doesn't say that at all. And in fact, Byron York had a good piece where he went into, it's called Democrats Have a Vindman Problem. This is that lieutenant colonel on the NSC staff, probably the source of the whistleblower whose name we can't say, Ciaramello, the FBI, the CIA guy in there. But Vindman is interesting. He did not have a problem with the transcript, he said. And this is in the leaked testimony that he had before the committee. And so it was one of the members of the committee, John Ratcliffe, who asked him, you said, I'm trying to find out if you were reporting it, like he reported this problem, because you thought there was something wrong with respect to policy, or whether there was something wrong with respect to the law. Because what Vindman said simply is, I don't think it was proper that the president was changing our policy toward Ukraine. Well, that's not illegal. You don't get to make that choice. So it all boils down to people didn't want the president to withhold the money from Ukraine. That's it.
And like some have said and pointed out, none of it should go. It's all illegal.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, if there's one of the justified reasons for doing it, and they do it, is if that country is committing violence and not following the law.
Corruption,
but
yeah.
That's sort of irrelevant. But the other thing is Powell was before the banking mm-hmm. committee or one of the committees today to testify. It might have been joint economic. And I didn't hear very much of it, a little bit, but it was soothing. Everything is okay. Everything's under control. Maybe we can just maintain what we're doing for the rest of the year and everything will be okay. And I was on Stuart Varney's show. He's been kind enough to get me on, even though we might have minor disagreement. He at least allows me to do my best and explain anything.
He's a good man.
I said, well, I don't, what do I think about Powell? I said, I don't think he knows what he's doing. I don't think the Fed has any control over the situation. And he said that everything is okay. I said, but did he warn us about 2 months ago when overnight rates went from 2% to 10% and they've had to inject like $300-400 billion to prop up the overnight market? Where did they get this money? How did they get? Was it properly done by, getting it from the Congress and appropriating and authorizing? Oh no, we don't have to do that. That's anachronistic.
Yeah, that's a word.
We don't do that anymore. We just print it as we need it. So they've been doing that. So they have no more control of what's happening now, or in the next 3 or 4 months or 3 or 4 years than they did a month or two ago when they had no warning, no idea. Matter of fact, I don't believe they had any idea because I don't think they can comprehend really human action. They don't know how people are going to react. They can print money and they can say, we're going to do this and it's going to create jobs and all this. They're probably believing that stuff, but the whole thing is things don't go exactly as they plan, and that's why you have so many unintended consequences on monetary policy. Even the ideas of where is the inflation, and the only thing they look at is the CPI. Well, that is not a very good measurement of inflation because it's all rigged. But anyway, I think that is an important issue. But like I've indicated, we have the Hong Kong thing going on. I think we're way over-involved now the way we're threatening sanctions and everything else. There's a problem there, and I think it's complex, but I think we need to stay out of it. We can't solve the problem. I was challenged on why shouldn't we say something? These are wonderful people. And I said, well, why didn't we get involved in the Soviet system? Because a lot of people suffered, and we should have said something, and we didn't. So I stuck to our case. With Stuart, that we should be non-interventionist. But one point I wanted to make for this is, the Hong Kong and foreign policy, Syria, Ukraine, all this is important, and also the financial situation is important because what you're dealing with there is how do you monetize debt. And so what are we doing now? How long have we been hearing about impeachment before the president was elected?
Yeah.
Or at least sworn
in.
But actually, they were scheming to try to keep him from being elected because we were going to have him. We were going to prevent it. And there was an unintended consequences that they weren't powerful enough to prevent his election, which was very encouraging that the deep state didn't have total control.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, you talked about the economics. What if the Democrats had focused on the fact that our successful economy really is kind of a house of cards, rather than going all in for this thing, whether or not he tried to withhold the money that, by the way, Obama himself withheld wisely. But on the Hong Kong thing, we wanted to talk a little bit about Mitch McConnell, because the U.S. is heavily involved with what's going on. You look at every single one of the leaders of these violent protests in Hong Kong. They've all been to D.C. They go straight to D.C. There's pictures of them with Mike Pence, Mike Pompeo, John Bolton. They're all meeting with these people. And you got to wonder, we have a couple of photos of some of the violence that's going on there. You've got to wonder if there were violent I saw one this morning where they were shooting arrows at the police, bow and arrows at the police. They lit a guy on fire who disagreed with the protests, didn't want the protests. So it was very violent. They're shooting arrows at the cops. And here we are meeting with these guys who are doing it. So you got to wonder, you know, if they are protesting for democracy, you know, that certainly is their business and their right to do so, we would think. But when we go in there and we get involved with supporting people that are shooting arrows at the cops, you have to ask the old Ron Paul question, what if the Chinese were supporting people over here shooting arrows at the cops? We'd be pretty irritated with it.
Maybe this won't be any more successful than Guaido's visits to D.C. I think he made a few visits there, and his coup didn't work out so well. That was an unintended consequence of what happened. So it doesn't always work exactly what they do, but they do a lot of things and a lot of mischief, and they don't ever give up. Think of all the wars that they've started, you know, in the Middle East and all that Cheney did. And there's no remorse, none at all, which puts them all, those who created this and had so much suffering, and they just don't have any responsibility for it. It means that that they're sociopaths. They have no feeling for it, or they can brainwash themselves into thinking, well, we're doing the Lord's work, and it just didn't work out, and it's God's will or something like that. But that is a real tragedy. And so far, we haven't changed their mind. There's still a lot of people who support this because it's always for good reasons. The superficial reasons, the propaganda say, well, we have to spread our goodness and all that garbage that they pass out on why we have to go hither and yon.
Yeah, I'd like to see somewhere, just one place where they're better off after being liberated, ask the Ukrainians or the Libyans. But it's funny you mentioned Guaido, because I noticed this morning that a female member of the Bolivian Senate has just declared herself president.
Yes. You know,
there was no quorum, there was nobody in their parliament, but she said, I'm president. And the first guy to stand up and recognize her was Guaido. You know, he's probably playing with his toys in his room or something.
Excuse me, but I wonder if a former congressman could go to Washington and declare himself president.
Exactly, there you go. We can do it, the revolution. But then, of course, unfortunately followed up by the U.S. government, who recognized in the name of democracy a female member of the Bolivian Senate who's not gotten a single vote to be president. We've recognized her as the president, too. So there you have it, another
nothing
coup for democracy. And speaking of which, McConnell, who's getting involved in Hong Kong, is going to introduce the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act. Remember, Jeff Deist at the Mises thing said, democracy is the one word we should ignore. It's a meaningless word. But it does remind you of the Iraqi Freedom Act of 1998. Yeah. These kinds of acts are always a precursor to sanctions and war and these sorts of things. So, meddling.
That's for sure. And I think the people who are looking today probably mostly will be watching, hearings for impeachment and looking for little things. And there'll be, and who knows, there might be a revelation of something that will be super newsworthy, probably not worth anything, but it could move markets, it could move emotions, and who knows what. But that's something that remains to be seen, and I think that right now, whether it's the foreign policy or the financial problems or the so-called truth and justice in our system, in our kangaroo courts, everything will work out. But we should be aware of it. And I think the people are watching. I just hope they get a message and realize it. But right now, it looks like this whole impeachment thing, instead of, I always try to argue liberty should bring people together.
Yeah.
Well, an impeachment like this, and I've always argued that there's a lot of bipartisanship, except on the issue of power. There's a lot of antagonism, and right now this impeachment is that way. I mean, this is a big fight, and that means that it's unanimously opposed by the Republicans, in the House of Representatives.
And the thing is, I think it's going to be really rejected by a lot of Democrats too, because if you hate Trump, mobilize people to vote against him in a very short period of time, you can get him out of office.
Right.
So, but we do need to end on a very positive note. And there's a lot of really good news. And here's the really good news. A new mini book, a new monograph from Dr. Paul, America's Exceptional Bankruptcy. We just had these printed out for the Mises Institute and for our supporter summit over last weekend. Dr. Paul, this is another fascinating book. You're just chugging ahead at full steam. But and we're going to offer this as a premium for people who join or support the Institute. But first, let's talk a little bit about the book.
Well, let me just mention about the title, The Exceptional. That's a take on American exceptionalism. And we have this moral obligation to spread American exceptionalism. Of course, you see I have exceptional in quotes because there's nothing exceptional about bankruptcy. But we have exported it. We literally have, through our propaganda machine, our military power, and also our monetary power. We've exported it because we were able to print money, create it out of thin air, and bail out everybody, and everybody keeps it, not everybody anymore, less all the time, as reserve. So that's given us tremendous economic power. And in some ways, it's even connected to the problems in China right now, because the cash flows went to China, and they're cash heavy. And they can actually engage in some market economy that we don't do it anymore. So they're buying up stuff around the world. At the same time, we're using guns. So our exceptional bankruptcy has been exported to our detriment. And I do I make a point of that that's part of the monetary system.
And what happens with these booklets, you've done a few of them just in this past year or so, you always seem to have your finger on the zeitgeist, what's happening, the sign of the times. And people may look at this and think that's going to be a lot about the economy, and it is. There's a lot about that kind of bankruptcy. But what I also found really fascinating about this little book is that you go into the antecedents, you go into our schooling system, you go into the war on free speech, you go into the morals, and you tie this all into like the mother of all bankruptcies, a great bankruptcy that encompasses all of these things.
Yes, and I think the moral issue, as the more I wrote and the more I've understood what's going on in politics, I understand what Adams was talking about. The type of system they were hoping to create would not work if you didn't have a moral people. And right now, most people agree, especially if they're, conservative at all or libertarian at all or independent-minded at all, there's something happening to our moral fiber in this country, and it's reflected in that. So I think that is a chief problem. But, of course, that isn't corrected by government. And I say that individual responsibility has to do with developing excellence and virtue. But the government's taken over that. They want to teach you how to be moral and virtuous and work toward excellence. So they control the schools and everything else. So they've turned something over to the government that destroys liberty. So if they think they can do it, or even if they try to do it, it's all at the expense of liberty. So we've turned this around, that this bankruptcy is the government's is being used to make us safe. And that is not the reason. That is one of the worst reasons. Yes, I believe in the national defense of a country declares war and comes in. But in no way did the founders endorse this idea that we're looking forward to the day we have provided you with an outline on how to become the most powerful empire in the world. Yeah. And we probably have been. We have our troops around. We're 170 countries, and that to me is a reflection of bankruptcy. The good news is the bankruptcy is going to bring good things to us, because this has to be reversed. And this is why, you know, we have to pay attention to what the Fed is doing. We have to pay attention to what's going on in the foreign policy, because it's better that we back off than wait for, you know, a collision course and really suffer greatly, you know, with maybe some hot war going on. So I think it's the recognition of where we are in history and understanding that the answers aren't that difficult. It's just the rejection of the use of government force, and that means it might scare a lot of people. The government's going to be very small. and sometimes I get resistance. Well, you mean I have to take care of myself if I get sick? Yeah. Who's going to provide a car for me, and who's going to do all these things? It has to be done, you know, in a different manner, but it can't be done. And that is the point here of a moral society. And Bastiat points it out. You know, because we have needs, you can't use a gun to steal from your neighbor because you need a car. And most people accept that. But they don't for a minute think about, yeah, I can't do that. That's illegal. But I know my congressman, he can get what I need. And that's what we're listening to, because now the socialists are so bold. They label themselves socialists. Vote for me. I'm a socialist. Yeah. You know, that's what we have to reverse.
No, exactly. Well, you know, this is Dr. Paul's very unique way of combining the financial with the social and cultural to explain what's happening in our times. Every single one of you are going to want to read this book. We're only offering it to members of the Ron Paul Institute. We're offering it as a premium to our generous donors like you. For $50 and up tax-deductible donation, we'll send you a copy of Dr. Paul's brand new mini book. For $100 or more, Dr. Paul is going to sign it. We're going to chain him down and make him sign a bunch of them. So you'll have a personally signed with Dr. Paul's hand, a copy of this as our way of saying thank you for supporting what we do here in the Ron Paul Liberty Report, what we do with the Ron Paul Institute, what we do to promote peace and prosperity in our country and worldwide. So thank you. Go to ronpaulinstitute.org and just click support, enter in your donation. And we now, from now and at least through the end of November, you've got a couple of good weeks to get your copy of this book. We'll send it to you with that donation. So thanks very much for your support, Dr. Paul.
Very good. And I want to thank our viewers today for tuning in for our update on what's going on in Washington. And hopefully we have been able to nudge you in direction of being active in promoting this cause for peace and prosperity, which, like I just said a few minutes ago, is not complicated. It just means that the government needs to get out of our way. It just means that we as individuals have to assume responsibility for ourselves, and that we cannot expect government to take care of us. Because when they do, it just invites power mongers, because some people like to run roughshod over other people, and that's the opposite of liberty. The Constitution was intended, the founders were cautiously optimistic that something good would come of this, but right now we are guided not by the Constitution, and we have lost our moral background, so it is up to us to help restore that. But I think it has to start with asking one question: what should the role of government be in a free society? And I think it should be to protect our liberties, to solve our own problems. And it invites the notion that everybody gets liberty equally, but they can use their liberty as they choose, as long as they don't hurt anybody. Pretty neat plan. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.